You heard me? But I was muted. Interesting. Okay. Never mind. Whatever. Whatever. We'll just continue. I lost the recording of the first part of it because I got confused. I would love to see if I can find the webcam cable. I have located the cable I need. I need to remove this flash drive, plug this in, and then that should turn on and appear eventually. Come on. Maybe we'll plug it again one more time. Come on, dog. Not dog. Webcam, yeah. Just referred to the webcam as a dog. I don't really know what's going on there. All right, there we go. Dog cam. Yeah, dog cam. All right, so we'll skip the questions that I answered because those weren't Resonite related when I thought I wasn't recording, but I was recording and I wasn't muted. So we'll go on to Resonite questions and we'll go from there. So J4 says, are components removal upgrades handled the same way when importing a Resonite package or a 7Z Bison? If not, how is backwards compatibility ensured to packages that raw files don't have? I saw the conversation about this one in the wiki channel, and I think the easiest way to answer it is with a Resonite package, we get more information about the source and the context and the resources and the assets and stuff like that within the Resonite package. Like there's like metadata, there's information, there's all sorts of stuff that we might need to put back together. Whatever's contained within that file, right? It's everything that we need. Whereas the 7Z Bison is just one file, right? So if the 7Z file doesn't contain, for example, the assets, then they won't be included. So a good example is if you export a Resonite package of an avatar, we include the avatar's textures. But if you just used a 7Z Bison of an avatar, then the textures wouldn't be included, but the inside of that file would have a reference to the textures elsewhere. And if that reference gets deleted, then the Bison file wouldn't work anymore. So the scenario there would be you save a 7Z Bison and it contains your avatar, and then you delete your avatar from Resonite entirely, like everywhere it is, you delete it all. Then you re-import the 7Z Bison, the textures wouldn't load because they're not included. Whereas if it did the same thing with Resonite package, the textures would be included and it would come back in fine. So wherever possible, I recommend a Resonite package now that they're there for offline exporting. You can, of course, still use 7Z Bison, but just know that there's going to be orphaned links in there and it's going to break quicker. Nuki says, are assets used only in a published world included in user's data storage limit? No. If you save an asset to your inventory that cannot be found anywhere else, so, okay, hi, Feta. A good example here is like, okay, let's say that you upload an avatar and it's your avatar. You're the only person that owns the textures. You're the only person that owns the mesh. That will always be yours and will always count to your storage. However, let's say instead that you took a publicly available base from one of the avatar worlds, but you made your own textures. Then the mesh won't count towards your data storage limit, but the textures will, because those are unique. There isn't like a hard and fast rule to do it. One of the things we want to do is actually add UI so we can figure it out and help you understand what's going on there a little bit more. Because the uniqueness of an asset is based on its hash and not like any sort of human measure of uniqueness. And so that means that while there's probably thousands of copies of the Rex avatar inside our cloud storage, they're not all identical, and therefore all of those will maybe have, you know, different size storage requirements. But yeah, basically anything that you put into your cloud that is unique will affect your data storage limit. Noodlebug asks, a while ago, I heard that someone was working on an out-of-game flux editor for Resonite packages. Do you know if that's still a thing? I think someone's doing that. I saw a bunch of stuff about it. I don't recommend it. If they're doing it, go for it. Next is Modern, who says, speaking of backwards compatibility, there's an issue I had where iFingerPose source was removed and replaced with iFingerPose source component that basically had the same functionality, but anything that used iFingerPose source was broken. I made a push about it, but I didn't get any response. Can I put the issue here? Yes, but you won't get any response about it here either. Like, if you're not getting a response, it's not that we hate you, it's just that we haven't got to it yet. Like, we're very, very, very busy. As you can tell, I'm extremely busy just petting this dock. I'm happy to talk about them, but like I have to prioritize questions that aren't just link a GitHub issue help question mark, right? Because if we did that, there are thousands of issues, and that would be all that this segment contains. Nuki asked a clarifying question related to the previous question. If they add a big image to this public published world I made, I don't have to worry about file size terms in my own storage. If you own the world and you save the world and that image is unique, it will be added to your storage. If the world is owned by a group and you save it to the group, that new image will be owned by the group and it will affect the group storage. And the same with reflection probes. Yeah, that's basically just an image. If it's unique, you pay for it. If it's not unique, you don't. Nulbog says, any exciting performance fixes or updates coming? Big one that's being worked on right now is the particle system. Once that is done, it is moving us on the sort of path of decoupling Freaks Engine from Unity. And so it doesn't look like it's associated with performance, but it really is, because it like detangles us, right? If you imagine like a big box of cables right now, that's Resonite, and we're just trying to sort of like straighten out all those cables, and then we can replace the cables with shorter cables or more performant cables, etc. I keep talking about wanting to make a tech tree. Like, we can't do a roadmap because like we haven't planned out things enough there, but we can do a tech tree where it's like, hey, we know that this item needs to occur before this item, and we're currently working on this item. And so we could render it, you know, like a video game where there's like an hourglass or whatever on the item we're currently working on. And that might help. One of the things stopping me from doing that, though, is I'll probably get some parts of it wrong. And so if I get a part of it wrong, it's going to be like, you know, so we'll see. Are you going to stand there all day, dog? Or are you going to sit down? He's really spooked by the people moving in. And now there's a garbage truck outside, it sounds like. So Modern asks, out of curiosity, do you know why meshes of a lot of blend shapes take long to process and load in? Yeah, so every single vertex which is edited by the blend shape is effectively a separate model, as Nuki says, right? So like, you imagine like a wardrobe for like a theater play, but it's just your avatar with various sort of faces. That's why. That's why, like, the recommendation is to bake those blend shapes and also split the head and body mesh, because that means that you don't have to have all of the face track blend shapes affect the body mesh. That's like easy to do in Blender. Maybe I should have a tutorial on it, but like, cutting off your head, easy to do in Blender. And it has awesome ways of doing that. If anyone who doesn't want to bake their blend shapes for whatever reason, I just don't care. Bake the blend shapes and you'll have a better performance for everyone. And just save two copies of your avatar. Like, I'm done like arguing why you should do that. You just should. Yeah, I've been meaning to, and I don't know if anyone knows, but I was watching the character creator of Dragon Age Veilguard, and I was just wondering like how they do character creators in like that game engine kind of concept. Because if we had a character creator like Dragon Age Veilguard's, like, would be good, right? Most people would be, oh, you know, I don't have an avatar, I don't want to import one. It's like, well, great, here's a character creator, right? So interesting to see if we could figure out how they're doing it. I don't know if it's blend shapes or bones or anything. And I presume that once you're done with character creation in games like this, they sort of do some sort of bake to make the model less dynamic. But I just have no concept of how all of that works. It would just be like, it would just be interesting. It's blend shape. Like, there's some of it that like would also affect the skeleton though, right? So there's like height and build stuff that has to affect like the layout of the skeleton. I don't think it can be entirely blend shapes. It's got to have to also be bones. The facial animations that you get in AAA games are bones and blend shapes, guaranteed. Because they're just like very, very, very expressive and varied. So it's got to be more flexible than just blend shapes. They're just moving in, fella. There's no need to be scared. They're just moving in. They've got lots of furniture and stuff, and they're just moving in. Fella. I'd love to just, you know, like, take a look at the source material, the source code, the editor there to figure it all out. I think it would just be, like, cool to look at. Modern says, I do sort of wonder those mesh loading on a separate thread, because it always seems to lock up the main one, just curious. It's probably the, like, slot decode. So you know the thing that, like, we keep talking about how like it's loading slots that's a problem. Like that's probably what's going on. I'd have to look into like the code to figure out if we did the mesh loading on a separate thread. I don't have the code open, and I actually don't have time to open it today. I go straight from here to get ready, and then I'm off down to UW. Mr. M says, I heard something about quadruped avatar support, whatever that's called. Is that happening at a later point? Yeah, so when we redo our IK, we'll have support for... We'll have support for more generic rigs, and that might include like better quadruped support. You can do it right now with a bunch of like hacks, but it'll be better once we have more generic IK support. Like, he wants to relax here. He just doesn't know how because he's still scared of the people moving in. This is like, he's like half fallen over. Come on, just sit down. Just sit down. There you go. Panda asks how the AIO swap went. Yeah, it went fine. New AIO is in there. I'm laughing because like the AIO is just getting bigger and bigger, and so the majority of the side of my computer is just a giant glowing block now. But yeah, it all works. I'm happy about that because I just want technology to work, and I don't care. Right. I just want it to work. And if technology gets to the point where it doesn't work for some reason, I'm just angry at it. I just don't care. Like, work. My dad used to have this. He only did it like once or twice, but it was it was always funny, and I always remember it. My dad and mum were doing like a dinner party for some family friends or whatever, and the blender just stopped working. And he went, I'm really angry at this blender. You know, he was swearing at it, etc. It's going to go up the end of the garden in a minute. And it's always a threat, he used to say, right? Yeah, it's going to go up the end of the garden. But this one particular time with this blender, he literally just opened the back door and threw it out and then carried on like with the rest of the dinner party. And that's what I feel every time technology breaks. Because like, I'm technical, right? So I don't even class like simple errors or simple problems as breaks anymore. They're just like how you use computers. Like I just, you know, restart it or fix errors without doing it. But if it gets to the point where like I am not capable of fixing it, it's risking going in the garden. So in this case, I don't know what's dead about the AIO. It could be like electronic, or it could be that the pumps failed, but like I didn't care. And I just bought another one. And it works, and I'm good. Yeah, what's the Yu-Gi-Oh place? Is it Yu-Gi-Oh? Shadow Realm? Yeah, like I like, for example, on my index controllers, there's a bug with the right one, and I'll explain this, but like I guarantee none of you know this fix, because trust me, it's been years, right? But the right controller will randomly just disconnect from the source computer, from the headset. And it will swear point blank that it's still connected because it'll still have the green LED. And Steam will still say it's connected because it'll still be like, you know, good colored in on Steam VR's display. But it literally won't be sending any data. And I can turn it off and Steam still thinks it's on. And I can turn it on and it will stay on blue LED for a bit and then go to green immediately and be like, yeah, I'm tracking. It's like you literally aren't. And the only way I can fix it right now is by restarting my computer. So that's what I do. Or by plugging it in. So sometimes I just grab a long USB cable and plug it in, depending on what I'm doing. And I've done every imaginable troubleshooting step, every single imaginable troubleshooting step, but still can't fix that. And like, that's one of the reasons why I haven't been in VR as much, because like that's happening. And it's just like, I don't even want to think about it. Okay, this question here from Quali, who says, curious, is there a canonical... Nuclear? I don't know. Mechanism for invalidating the asset caching of a remotely loaded URL. No. Yeah, I would just change the URL in some way. I would have to look how we handle cache headers. But like, I don't think we handle them to spec. Oh, I missed a question. Red says, about the new particle system, how much more performant is it on average? Whenever you ask like how much, or like when, or like etc., you're asking for a measurement, but you're not being like prescriptive about it, and it's difficult to answer. So like, what metric do you want that in? Do you want that in like cheese frames per second? Like, what do you mean? Like, I can't measure that, right? It's not possible to measure that. I can only estimate it. So like, maybe the better question would be, is the new particle system more performant? To which the answer would be yes, but like, I can't measure it. We can totally add tooling to the engine to allow us to measure stuff like that. We just haven't. And that will probably be part of the performance update later on, is to sort of like figure out, or at least document internally, our way of measuring performance. And then maybe we can start reporting on it. But like, I can't, We know it is more performant, but we don't like we can't measure how much that would be. Just setting some stuff up for this talk. I downloaded like a PowerPoint file, but like it was made in Google Sheets, and so Google Sheets didn't do a good job of converting it to PowerPoint, and it deleted my font color. So I just put like the hyperlink to the Google slide deck on the flash drive I'm using, and I'll just open up the Google version of it. Mr. Mem says, is Resonite more performant than its predecessor? Yes, in a bunch of areas. No, in some other areas, but mostly yes, though. There's a bunch of, like, obscure bugs that people run into and DM me about, and they're like, oh, this worked over here. And it's just like, yeah, I know, like, we are so busy and we're trying our best, please. Got some clout here. This is a Mixer mug specifically for the Bedrock Services team of Mixer. And it has Diet Coke in it. I'm out of regular glasses, so I'm drinking all my drinks out of mugs right now. I've got to load the dishwasher. Red says, have you played Buckshot Roulette? No. I wouldn't play that game. I hate, like, luck-based games, if that makes sense. Like, I know it's, like... I know luck, like, occurs everywhere, right? You know, you play World of Warcraft and you kill a boss, there's only a certain percentage it will drop an item. Got it. Understood. But that one's just, like, randomized, and it's all over, like, YouTube, because it was, like... I don't know, like, it's one of those, like, cool reaction-y games. Like, here's an example, okay, so if you're playing a scary game, let's say Amnesia, Dark Descent, Cry of Fear, Five Nights at Freddy's, like, whatever sort of game like that you imagine, and a jump scare happens, I might jump, you know, startle, I might flinch, but I'm not gonna, like, be expletive or loud or swear or yell. And I don't think any of these YouTubers would either. They're just doing it because the camera is recording them. And so it creates this, like, weird narrative that, like, jump scare games are funny because people have funny reactions to them. But, like, I get scared of video games and I just go, like, moving forwards to Modern's question, I'm sort of curious why the huge loading hitch happens when you first start up Resonite. There's a bunch of loading hitches when we start up Resonite. We don't really do this because we're too small to do it, but, like, eventually we will, if we get large enough, we'll start looking at metrics, right? And we'll start sort of analyzing them and figuring out what we can do to make them better. And trust me, I have a lot of experience with stupid metrics. Like, here's a stupid metric for you. Monthly active users. Tells you nothing. Like, it tells you how big your audience is, yes. But, like, it can be over-indexed to the point where it's like, oh, we want more monthly active users, what can we do? And then you just go down routes of, like, acquiring more users. Instead, you need to look at things like retention, etc. But one of the things you need to look at to get a handle on retention is to figure out, like, when are your users leaving? And in a lot of cases, I think that would be in the first hour or 2 hours of their experience on Resonite. And so then the actual effective metric to start fixing that might be time until first meaningful interaction. Comes up a lot in speedrunning as well. It's like how, because like speedruns stop the clock at the last meaningful interaction from the user. So maybe it's like the final hit on the last boss or the final okay on a piece of dialogue or whatever. The other end of that is the first meaningful interaction. So what is the first meaningful interaction that you do on Resonite? And that might be, for me, it's open up my context dialogue and join a random session, right? For a new user, it might be in the tutorial world, able to move around, no lag, no hitches. Like, what's the time for that? And if we start recording that and working on improving it, again, we can sort of report on that and we can work on that. So maybe it'll be like, oh, look, it takes, if a cloud home's included, it takes like a minute and a half to get to the cloud home on launch. First run's more like 2 to 3 minutes. What if that was 30 seconds? Could that be 30 seconds? How could we get that to 30 seconds? And at that point, we might have a bit more information about what's going on there, but we're not looking into that. Nuki says, how heavy is an intersection shader? Again, what number are you looking for? Kilograms? Grams? What measurement? I don't know. I'd have to look at the shader code. I would imagine it would be slightly more heavy than the shader that does not have the intersection mode. Because it needs to calculate an intersection, which is like an additional math step. And then it needs to modify the rendering on that intersection. There we go. It is now 5:30, and like I said, we need to end on the dot here, so that's me over. I'm going to do something funny for the camera, though. Look, it's Mr. Feder. They really don't like that. I will speak to you later. Bye-bye.